Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
College football, full circle.
And Rocket Sanders and the Razorbacks, they are just running wild inside the 10 and into the end zone. How about them Hawks tonight, folks?
On the move, Stroud delivers, picked off, intercepted.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Another outstanding weekend of college football in the books and a lot to discuss here as we now just listen. We talk about this past week and then we gear up to cash some tickets for week three starting on Thursday night. Joining me, as always, the encyclopedia of college football. That is, and a big bounce-back weekend for the man that is Go for the Two, Joe Lisi. Joe, how are you, my man?
I'm feeling great, Carver. The chi is back in order. I'm feeling like I'm running at 150% here. Feel great. Batteries are recharged. Watch great. I'll tell you what. What a great slate of action, not just from the 12 o'clock hour. Had me up till about 3 o'clock in the morning with the West Coast games. I was watching Kalani Sitake pull out a critical victory over Utah and Charlie Brewer. I mean, just great games this past Saturday. I mean, this is what makes college football. And just, I can't wait for week number three, really.
No, no doubt, and you're right. We'll talk about it during this show. The late-night slate had some huge upsets with BYU winning the Holy War and Stanford just out of nowhere taking USC to the woodshed at the Coliseum on Saturday night. And don't forget the Vandy upset at Fort Collins, Joe. We don't want to forget about that either with Clark Lea getting his first win as Vandy head coach. So nice job by him. But
We really, I think we just put Adazio like on the plank, didn't we, when this show, season started, we had Adazio. Hey, Steve, go out. Yeah, keep walking. Hey, Joe Carver, 5 feet? Yeah, keep walking. Get a little bit more.
We got you, buddy. We got you. No, but I think, Joe, we have to start today with obviously what was the biggest result of the weekend, and that was the Ducks of Oregon going into the Horseshoe, into Columbus, Joe, and getting a 35-28 win, a huge win for the Pac-12. C.J. Verdell was unbelievable. He had a 161 on the ground, 2 touchdowns. What'd they run for, Joe? They ran for about 270 yards on the ground, the Ducks, as they now vault into the top 5 in the latest AP poll. The Buckeyes, of course, stumble. And where do you want to put the blame? I mean, listen, Stroud threw for 484. And 3 touchdowns, but that critical interception at the end when the Buckeyes got the ball down 7, chance to drive the field, and that's where it kind of showed, Joe, that he was making his second start ever at Ohio State.
Well, I think the same problems or issues that crept up in Minneapolis crept up at home, right? That was the biggest thing, is that the front 7 was not good. And I said, you know, in terms of the breakdown, in order for Oregon to win this game, they needed to sustain drives. They needed to pound the rock with Verdell and Dye, and they did that. And the biggest thing, Carver, was they struck first. That's the hardest thing about these top 5 teams, right? Teams like Clemson, teams like Bama and Ohio State, they always dictate the tempo. Oregon didn't fear them, took it right down. They took a couple of shots, and in the middle of the first quarter, they said, you know what? Now we're going to pound it down your throat and try and stop us. They couldn't do it, and their defensive front, without Thibodeau, stepped up and made a statement, and guess what? Stroud looked like a freshman in that ballgame. The stats aside, in critical junctures, he was high on a lot of throws, and that really was a testament to the pass rush and, more importantly, the secondary of Oregon with tight coverage.
No, and on the other side of the coin, Joe, I mean, the Ohio State defense got absolutely embarrassed at home. I mean, they did. I mean, Oregon did whatever they wanted all day on what's supposed to be one of the best defenses in the country. And I think that's the thing that Ryan Day's got to look at himself over the last 48 hours, even a little bit more than the quarterback player, the offense. I think it's his defense that he's got to be shaking his head at.
Well, I think he's like Glass Joe in a sense, right? He got knocked out like that Buster Douglas moment, right? Now, we always say it's great when you're 23-0, but you've been playing tomato cans here, right? You know,
yeah.
we get a couple of guys out and on the street, you know, bagging groceries, and now all of a sudden, now you get hit in the mouth and you go down and you get knocked out like Tyson did as a 42-1 favorite. What are you going to do the following weeks and beyond, right? Tyson was never the same fighter. Same thing with Ryan Day. When you expose him, how is his team going to respond? But it wasn't just this game. You see, the biggest concern, you could say, okay, it was one game. But we've seen the defense now in back-to-back weeks where teams have been able to run the football with physical offensive lines. That's going to be a concern when they play Penn State. That's going to be a concern when they play other teams if they make it to the college football playoff. So that's what we need to see develop in these games, especially in conference play. We'll see if the Buckeyes could do it, because I tell you what, since 2017, the only team to upset the Buckeyes at home was Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield. Anthony Brown and the Ducks made a statement on Saturday.
They certainly did, and now they give the Pac-12, Joe.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Their best opportunity to make the college football playoff in years. Now that Oregon's got to get through the conference, which I still think could be a tough task for them, especially with how well some of these teams have played. All right, college football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back, we keep diving into all these big games over the weekend, including the Hogs running all over Texas. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. All right, Joe, let's roll through these games. We talked about Oregon, huge win at the Horseshoe. Let's go to the Hogs. We'll bounce around a little bit here because you were on this one all week long. Tremendous job by you, Joe. 40-21, Arkansas just absolutely destroys the Longhorns. 333 yards on the ground. Sarkisian looked like his head was spinning after the game. He couldn't believe what was going on. So all that getting built up. And listen, Joe, like honestly, like the people at Texas, like all their you know, all their alums and all their boosters and all the people be like, geez, we're going to the SEC? That's one of the lower SEC teams, and they just rammed it down our throat. Not a good look for Sarkisian on Saturday night, Joe.
No, not at all. I mean, Bijan Robinson, 69 rushing yards. He might have a little bit of a quarterback controversy on his hands, too. Hudson Card got the start, and I thought that was the matchup, right? You had an experienced secondary led by Jalen Catalan in Arkansas that forced him to read coverage, made them one-dimensional, and Casey Thompson came in in the second half after it was a blowout, right? I thought Casey Thompson should have been the guy to lead that offense, but this game was won on the interior. I mean, the Hogs are just a physical offense and defensive lines. That's what their head coach Sam Pittman was, the former offensive line coach of Georgia, and he's just a blue-collar guy, and if you're not big up front, or more important, you're not physical at the point of attack, Arkansas is going to beat you, and that's exactly what they did, and they have a quarterback as well, KJ Jefferson, that stepped up. He's mobile. They can make some noise. Now, their schedule is absolutely impossible, but yeah, maybe they can scratch out six wins. I mean, I still think it's an uphill battle, but this is a huge step in the right direction when you knock out Texas the way they did. I mean, they laid them out right from the get-go.
They certainly did. One of the most dominating performances of the weekend. Big feather. And you know who else was probably laughing, Joe? All the other Big 12 ADs. Watching Texas go into Arkansas and just get their doors blown off. I mean, a really tough weekend for them. I want to go back to the early games that went on. You know, Florida and South Florida, it's funny, and you were talking about this to me in the break. You know, Scotty, we were on with Scotty on Friday night, and we were talking about South Florida, and you're like, you're back in South Florida again, you know, after the NC State game. They covered, Joe. It's just like I said about Florida. I am not backing them laying big points because they screwed me the week before, Mullen, when they played FAU. I wasn't going to do it again against South Florida. And sure enough, the Gators got up big, and they let the Bulls get a couple of late ones, and that ends up, you know, as they like to call it, Joe, the backdoor cover with 4:22 to go. Boom. Finished.
I tell you what, I was doing in-game live, and I had, you know, my right eye was peeking at the screen watching Florida and South Florida play. And the reason why I like South Florida, and people, I know Scotty thought I was nuts, I thought their defense played well, and they did give up over 500 yards to NC State, but that was because the offense didn't get anything generated, right? Yeah. Now we saw the offense progress a little bit today, over the weekend, and now the defense held their own. But you know, I was upset that Dan Mullen puts in Anthony Richardson with about 8 minutes left. He busts an 80-yard run, hurts himself, and I'm like, well, here we go now. He had to put in Anthony Richardson. Can't just save him for the Alabama game, right? The kid rips off an 85-yard run, and then thankfully South Florida gets a turnover and a stop, and they score a touchdown at the end for the cover. That was a gutty win. It meant more to South Florida. As you know, Florida wasn't looking at that game. They were looking at Bama this week, and that's why I thought South Florida could get the back door.
Now, trust me, Joe, I have not learned my lesson after what I did last week. I spent 5 days on here with you saying that Ohio State was going to absolutely crush Oregon. I wasn't backing off of it. Just because that did not look good and I had some egg on my face after that does not mean, Joe, that I'm going to stop this week and not say for 5 days straight that Alabama is going to absolutely hammer Florida.
Oh, you're so you're like, I'm not. Florida could be your kryptonite.
Yeah, they're going to get destroyed by Alabama. Destroyed. I'm not going. I'm laying it with the Crimson Tide. I'm going to try to get myself a nice line early in the week because that thing's going to go up by the time they kick off on Saturday afternoon. No shot I'm giving the Gators at home on Saturday, Joe.
I'm not going to show my hand just yet, okay? But I will say this, is that it is a road environment, 15.5 on FanDuel right now if you want an opening line on the Alabama Crimson Tide. They've dominated the series. Yep, 15 and a hook on FanDuel. Okay, that's shop around because you need to get some numbers. Alabama does lead the all-time series 26-14. Okay, and they won the last seven games. Okay, just so you know, by 21.5 points per game. Yep. Just so you know.
Yeah. And they did not cover against Mercer, by the way, on Saturday, the 48-14.
Well, we talked about that too. I think Scotty brought that up, or you brought that up.
I gave it a number on Saban. 1-5 Saban when he's laying 50 points or more in these tomato can games. So he was laying a 52.
See, that's a good number.
I took them in a
losing parlay because I couldn't just take them straight.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not losing money just on Mercer, right?
Right.
If they get blown out, I'm gonna lose in, you know, and sure enough, that was the leg that won, and the other parlay lost. You know, the other leg lost. But, that's, of course, that's how it happens.
It was a another one, Joe Lisi special from over the weekend. The over in the Pitt Tennessee game, Josh. Great job.
Good about that.
And it got like it was crazy in the first half. I mean, there was 47 points in the first half. It was 27-20. Pitt gets up a couple scores. Tennessee made it close. Didn't Milton get hurt in the great Hendon Hooker? Hendon Hooker had to come in for the Vols. And Josh Heupel, the Houdini, Hendon Hooker comes in. 41-34, Narduzzi ends up squeaking it out in Knoxville.
Yes, they were calling that the Johnny Majors Bowl, with Johnny Majors coaching Pittsburgh and Tennessee, respectively. Yep. But I'll tell you what, you know what was shocking to me watching that game? Wasn't just a play on the field. Did you know Tennessee did not sell that game out? Are you kidding me? New head coach, new AD. You're supposed to be, this is 1998. The upper deck of Neyland Stadium was empty.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Come on, this wasn't like Western Kentucky or Western Carolina. This is an ACC opponent in Pittsburgh. You can't sell out?
That's a tough scene.
At Rocky Top?
Rocky Top.
Terrible.
Da-na-na,
terrible. I'll tell you what, I stayed in 1997. I was under the V and the O. Okay, upper deck, watch in a rainstorm. I thought I was going to be struck by lightning. Watching Peyton Manning in one of his last home games against Deuce Staley and Anthony Wright. They won the matchup 22-7. I'll tell you what, it was the same weekend that Robert Edwards in Georgia knocks off Florida and Steve Spurrier in the cocktail party as a 20.5-point underdog, and where Navy played Notre Dame. Right? And they throw a Hail Mary against Notre Dame, and the kid gets pushed out at the one.
Yeah.
They lose by like 5 or 4-1. It was a crazy finish in South Bend.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to talk about South Bend, too, in a little bit here. Before we go to break, I'll get you this one. This will be a fast one. Virginia Tech 35-14 over Middle Tennessee State.
Screwed me. That's screwed
Yeah,
me.
You know, and the Blue Raiders had a flurry there. In the second quarter, Joe, where they got in the mix there, they had a couple of touchdowns, or one touchdown, actually, to get them to 14-7 going into the half, and they just couldn't put anything together in the second half.
No, they couldn't.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
And then they gave up a garbage touchdown. It was 35-7. And, you know, I just got a bad line at 20. They never pushed it up over the key number of 21, and that's why I lost that matchup.
Yep. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll come back. The Irish had to sweat one out against Toledo. That and Texas A&M had to sweat one out as well in Denver. We keep talking about all the games from this weekend right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
All right, and we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Joe, let's go to South Bend now, where the Irish, listen, they had to struggle against Toledo. There's just no doubt about it. Got down in this game, 29-24. Late, they needed a Jack Cohen drive with the touchdown to Michael Mayer to give him the 32-29 win. Mayer got in there at the end, and you know, it was a very weird game, Joe, because Kelly started messing around, with you know, going in and out with the quarterbacks, and he let Buckner get in there, and Buckner showed that he could run the ball a little bit, which Kelly likes. So he was flip-flopping him. I was kind of surprised to see him do that, Joe. I didn't think he this early. Maybe he had the Toledo game circled as a game he wanted to try do that, but you've also got to win the game, and they had to sweat this one out.
They really did, right? And then the running game was good. It wasn't elite, and that was the biggest thing that I wanted to see out of that offensive line, right? Especially after the lack of four-quarter play against Florida State. They dominated for basically three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter just took their foot off the gas. You have to have that killer mentality for four quarters. Otherwise, you're going to get picked off in one of these games, and then you're out of the national championship picture without having a conference championship. So, but credit Jack Cohn. I mean, he made plays when he had to. He didn't throw for over 300 this week, but he did enough to put his team in a position. And I still like this kid. And I'll just say this, you know, he got bashed as a game manager and not being this elite quarterback. But if he continues to cut down on mistakes and lead his team to victory, you got to start talking about him as a potential dark horse for the Heisman.
Maybe it's possible if he's got to get in there. Maybe if they don't switch him back and forth, Joe. Like, I don't know. He's got to play the whole game in order for that to get into that type of conversation. Because I know how Kelly operates, Joe. Watching him now for, you know, 10 plus years as the Irish coach. When he gets a guy that can use his legs, he gravitates to that guy.
I know he
does. And Buckner's a freshman, and I remember talking to you in the preseason saying I wanted him to play. Because I'd rather just get him ready so that, you know, get him enough experience this year so that way in his sophomore, junior, senior years, he's ready to really make Notre Dame fly. Kelly really gets attracted to those guys, Joe, so that's going to be the tough situation for Cohn.
When we talk big picture, though, right? They struggled offensively against Alabama last year. If they got a little bit more consistent quarterback play and were able to sustain drives, they could have made that a little bit more of a game. I know they covered the number, but we're talking from an offensive perspective. Defense, they held up pretty well. Don't you think when you look at the big picture with that team last year, I didn't think their defense played all that bad. It was the lack of consistency from the quarterback position in Ian Book. This is what Dan Mullen is implementing in terms of a mobile quarterback, right? Two quarterback type of system to challenge Alabama this week. That might be something that Kelly's got thinking, because you're not going to put Buckner in as a freshman the rest of the way with these key games. You're going to have Cohn start. It's just that you're going to implement these RPOs from time to time, no?
Trust me, I bet you he gets a taste. He's gonna start playing this kid in and out every week.
You think he's like a drunken sailor? Like give him a little
Kelly gets a whiff. He sees that Buckner can handle it. He's going to start going in and out with the quarterbacks. That's for sure. So the Irish do survive. They get the win over Toledo. They'll have Purdue coming to their house on Saturday. Purdue beat UConn 49-0, by the way, Joe.
We thought that they would trim the fat, Randy Edsel. Yeah, Randy Edsel might have gotten...
God.
How bad is this team? That's how bad is this team?
We can't count on them for a win this year, Joe, by the way, in that prop we got. We can't count on you.
Yeah, we're screwed with that. Our best shot was Holy. We gave them a win against Holy Cross when we sort of broke that down, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they got the big game with UMass coming up the first weekend in October. So we need them to get themselves right by the time they play UMass, because that's a huge swing game for us in that prop. It was also a struggle for Texas A&M out in Denver. Now, Haynes King got hurt very early in this game, and God, does Jimbo have a problem if this guy gets hurt. I watched the whole second half of this game, Joe, because I had some interest in it, jumping on Texas A&M live when they were down at the half. And this kid, Kyle Zada, who played in he stinks, Joe. Like, I mean, Jimbo.
threw the touchdown to Isaiah Spiller.
Well, let me just tell you something. He threw that touchdown, Joe, but the 20 passes before that were ridiculous. He was missing guys. He fumbles on the goal line when he actually should have took the lead before that. This guy, Kyle Zada, I mean, he stinks. Jimbo needs to find himself a backup.
So you're saying his name should be Calzone instead of Calzada?
Yes.
You know what the funny part was is that I had that game on, but I had interest in other games, and I was keen on that. And I look at Twitter, and I hear you go, "Oh, this guy Calzada." I'm going, I thought Carver was on Colorado plus the 17. Now it comes out he takes A&M in game.
Well, I wasn't involved before the game. I was involved when I saw A&M down at the half. I said, "Well, you know what? Let's take a shot with Jimbo and the Aggies here." And sure enough, watching this guy Calzada play quarterback, I really want to drive to Denver and just grab Jimbo. But
he always does this, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And I tweeted out, "You still think you're better than Alabama, Jimbo?" Now, I mean, you know, Brendan Lewis and Colorado, a 17-point dog in their house. It was on a neutral field too. You can't beat them. Like, come on.
Yeah, and Colorado, give them some credit, I guess. They played pretty well defensively for the most part, Joe. I mean, they played some pretty good D. The quarterback was awful, but nice job by the Buffaloes as they get ready to start going in Pac-12 play. Penn State did what we both said they needed to do. Hammered Ball State, 44-13, a cover for the Nittany Lions. Nice job there. Nebraska with the cover as well.
Yes.
Joe, we said this. And you know what? They messed around for a little while. You know, it was 14-7, 14-3, and then they finally got a couple touchdowns in the second half to salt it away.
It was, and I was starting to get frustrated with Scott Frost. Like, at what point are we going to turn it on here? Like, yeah. You're like, really now? Like, and I don't know what Buffalo was doing. 14-3, they have a 4th-and-3, they get stopped. They go up 21-3. He attempts like 3 field goals after that, Buffalo. I'm like, there's 8 minutes left in the game. You're trying to. The kid McNulty missed 2 field goals. He was an all-conference kicker. But I said it before. If you're Scott Frost, you don't cover and lose to Buffalo. You got major issues. Now, this is worse. That would have been a worse loss than the Illinois loss week 1.
Yeah, no doubt. But they were able to just kind of grind him down, which is what Nebraska should be able to do to a MAC team like Buffalo. So a 28-3 win and the cover for the Cornhuskers. Iowa State, Joe.
Yep.
You know, honestly, I thought Campbell did an awful job. He really did. I didn't think the team was ready. They had the game at home. They finally have a chance to really, you know, take dominance of the state. And sure enough, the Hawkeyes just walk all over them again. That game wasn't close, Joe. That game was not close.
No, when you lose the turnover battle 4-0, I mean, you're going to probably get blown out. I mean, it was 14-10 in the third quarter. Breece Hall fumbles the football. Jack Campbell picks it up. Touchdown, now you're down 21-10. Hello, game over. Brock Purdy, 169 yards. But I'll say this. Yeah. You know, I was 2-0. Spencer Petras has done absolutely nothing in back-to-back games. 108 yards, 146. I mean, that is not going to get it done against the better and more speedier teams in the Big Ten.
2 weeks in a row, Joe, their defense was the story. I mean, their defense made the big plays in the game. They did it against Indiana, and they did it here in this game against Iowa State. And I don't want to hear about Brock Purdy anymore, Joe. I'm tired. Enough with Brock Purdy.
You whacked Brock Purdy now?
He's finished.
He's on the chopping block.
I'm tired of hearing about him. I can't get it done at home against the Hawkeyes. So away Iowa State goes as they go into oblivion now. They're out of the national title picture that they thought they were going to be in. Iowa, though, very much alive now, Joe. They're the highest-ranked Big Ten team now. They jumped up to the 5-hole, I believe, on the AP poll.
Well, we're going to have a couple games over the next couple of weeks. We have Penn State Auburn this week. And then in a couple of weeks in October, we have Iowa-Penn State. So now, you know, those two games now are starting to shape up for the Big Ten race, right? We see how good Iowa is. We get a gauge this week on how good Penn State is. You know, all of a sudden now, can Wisconsin get back in the mix? Minnesota? You know, we'll get a good gauge. Miami plays Michigan State this week. So now, outside of Ohio State, and don't think that the other teams aren't licking their chops, right? You know, Penn State is saying, all right. All right, Ohio State, you know, you still have a redshirt freshman there at the quarterback position. Now Iowa's saying, hey, Kirk Ferentz, they were a hot team last year, though, Carver. They reeled off 5 wins at the end of the year. So they got that train rolling in Iowa City.
Iowa's going to have a good chance to go into that Penn State game undefeated. They play Kent State, Colorado State, and Maryland the next 3 weeks before the Penn State game.
I'm not going to tip my hat. I like one of these games coming up.
Ooh, well, Joe, there you go. I hope it's not Joe Adazio and Colorado State going to...
You and Steve Adazio. This guy, he should listen to the podcast, Joe, right? Please. He's got to know that we already, that's it, Steve. The writing's on the wall. You're not making it out of Fort Collins this year, right?
No.
As the head coach, let me rephrase that. You're not making it out as the head coach this
year. No, he is not. Miami struggled with App State, Joe. I was upset with Miami. Of course, me and you both liked the Hurricanes on Saturday night. They just never could get that blow to go up by two scores. They just let App State, give them credit. App State just kept pushing back and hanging around.
Yeah, Chase Price, 199 through the air. De'Ara King, a pedestrian 200. Yeah, walking through the motions for Manny Diaz and the crew.
Not a good scene. College football full circle. Carver and Lisa here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. Keep going through the weekend's games right after this on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, at the beginning of every week, we do it. Who screwed you the most? I'm going to go first, because if you're going to go with who you're going with, that'll take us into the night games fairly easily. So I'm going to start with the Iowa State kicker, Mevis. Andrew Mevis, whatever his name is. So here's how he got me, Joe. You know, I had that over 46.5 in that game. Iowa State gets the touchdown to make it a 10-point game. They get the ball back going down the field, and I actually was saying to myself watching the game, come on, Campbell, do that dopey thing where you try the field goal to get you within one score and then do the onside kick. That'll get me over the 46.5, and then all will be right in the world. So he actually does go for the field goal. I think he needed another 10 or 15 yards. I think he was a little too quick to try the field goal to get him within 7. But then he sends the kid Mevis out there, and what does he do, Joe? He blows it, pushes it all the way to the left, ruins any chance that the Cyclones would have had anyway. So that kid missing the field goal, which cost me the over. So the game sat on, what was it, 44? And now instead, his kick would have got me to 47, would have put me over the over. So the Iowa State kicker screwed me, and Campbell, too, by not getting 10 or 15 more yards there at the end to try even do that dopey thing. So I'm down.
Yeah, I hate
that,
kickers. I'm going to say, if you have to rely on a kicker for anything, you got problems. Right. And that's the biggest thing. Yeah. They have one job in the world. Kick the football. Right.
They can't do it.
Kick it, the football, and they can't do it. Like you have one thing to do. You can't even do that right. So so that's why I can't stand kickers. I'm going to go with Jimmy Lake. I mean, we picked this team. Picked this team over 8 wins for the year. Are you kidding me? 335 rushing yards to the Michigan Wolverines. Are you serious? I mean, what is up with this team? Like, maybe last year was a fluke. I mean, Washington, you got abused. This was a Michigan team that didn't win a home game last year. They didn't win one home game last year. They lost 3 games by 17 points per game. You got to show better than that, especially when Oregon earlier in the day knocks out Ohio State. You got to be saying, yeah, Pac-12, we're back. Where was that intensity?
I thought that they were absolutely awful.
Garbage.
Saturday night. I was with you. We were both on the Huskies with the 6.5. We thought that they would be in that game. Credit to Harbaugh and the Wolverines. Good start for them. Listen, it's Western Michigan and Washington, but good start for Harbaugh. He needed a good start, Joe. and he's got one so far. When's their first, like, actual test? You know, when do they actually – they've got the Northern Illinois. By the way, what a wild game that was with Wyoming.
Oh, my
– that Northern Illinois-Wyoming game. Oh,
they're getting,
my goodness.
They're getting smoked, and then I turn it back on. They're winning 43-42. I'm like, what? I'm like, I imagine laying the 6.5 there. I mean, you needed the touchdown and then the two-point conversion to lay the 6.5. I'll tell you what backdoor I did get, because I put the pick out on College Football Today with Wetzel. I put out Western Kentucky plus the 5.5 and Bailey Zappi.
That was a backdoor.
The backdoor. Yes. Yes. So I squeaked out. That made me win a parlay. So I counted it as a loser. And then I'm going through the scores at 3. I'm like, they actually backdoored that thing. It wasn't easy. But it's crazy. These games, I mean, and that's why you people who say, oh, yeah, mark that as a winner. No. I don't care if I'm up by 50 with 4 minutes left. I'm not marking it as a winner until finally it's double zeros. Unbelievable.
That's it. That's how it has to be. Let's go through some of these night games. The night games were crazy, Joe. How about Florida State losing to Jacksonville State on the Hail Mary
Carver,
there at the
that
end?
That was great. Remember Mike Norvell?
Goodness.
Oh, Mackenzie Milton. Mackenzie, Joe Testator, Mackenzie Milton with this touchdown. Remember, it's like Testator was definitely sitting on a plus, what was it, 6.5 ticket that night?
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Yep. Like, hey, Joe, we love you, but can you just, like, be a little unbiased here? I'm sitting on Notre Dame minus the 7.5. Like, how many times are we going to hear about Mackenzie Milton?
I can't believe that Norvell was playing like – he wasn't playing like a Hail Mary type six back, you know, by the goal. He was playing a standard D with 6 seconds left. Now, it wasn't a conventional Hail Mary, Joe. It wasn't one of those ones where you chuck it to the end zone and somebody comes down with it. The kid caught it about 30 yards out from the end zone and just made a couple moves and went around everybody and scored. You know, it was a very unconventional Hail. They're calling, you know, they call it a Hail Mary because obviously it's the end of the game, but it wasn't your conventional Hail Mary. The kid had to make some moves and shifts to get himself in there.
Oh, this team's going to implode now. You just know it, right? Back to back, like, they'll probably win this week. I hope they don't against Wake Forest, and we'll break that game down later in the week.
We're on a Demon Deacons, Joe. Let's go.
They are on their – the pulse is barely there. You know, I can't hear anything. Get the pads.
Well,
you know?
Look at it this way, Joe. Look at it this way. We've both got them under 5.5, right? For us to lose that bet, they need to go 6-4 their last 10 games.
Yeah, and
they need to go
Clemson,
6-4
NC State,
their last 10
Florida,
games.
Florida, Miami of Florida, just to boot.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not,
so there's
four of the six
10 games.
Season's
all right.
Over.
So remember when Mike Norvell was the best thing since pudding? And remember when Mackenzie Milton.
I know, you got on Testator for that. He was all over.
Please.
He was
it's like, Joe,
Mackenzie
you know,
Milton.
There's two teams playing, Joe. All right? And Jack Cohn tossed for 366, but Mackenzie Milton, it's great. It is a great feel-good story. Happy that the kid's back on the field. Threw against Jacksonville State, by the way, 133 yards. Okay, Corbin rushed for over 200, and Mike Norvell, okay?
Oh, Norvell.
Back-to-back. Remember the last time they played Jacksonville State?
Yeah, they had to struggle with them. They struggled with them last year.
They were down 14-0 in the first quarter of that ballgame, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And they ended
so
up coming
Mike
back
Norvell
and
is not the coach of the future in Tallahassee, okay? And keep in mind, Florida State, 1-9 over the past couple of years on the road or on a neutral field. So after back-to-back heartbreaking losses, how do you think this is going to feel? Are they going to be up for this game in Winston-Salem?
No. No. We're on the Deacons, baby. We'll tell you that right now. We got days to go, and me and Joe are already on the Deacons. All right. Late-night games. Some big upsets. Listen, BYU was catching 7.5 at home in the Holy War against
Great
Utah.
Great call, Carver. You were on it.
I was. This is one of the rare ones that I actually got right this weekend, Joe. I had a rough weekend, that's for sure. But I did like BYU. I didn't think they'd win the game, Joe, but I thought it would be close. They end up winning the game outright, 26-17. It just felt like, Joe, early in this game, Utah was just making mistake after mistake after mistake, and they just eventually it just caught up with them.
Yeah, Jaren Hall stepped up too. I mean, you know, when your defense is opportunistic and puts your team in an offense in a position to score points early, you're going to be in the ballgame. And that's exactly what they did. I thought Charlie Brewer played average. You know, I thought the offense looked mediocre, and that's the MO of Utah, right? Not explosive playmakers on the perimeter. They grind you on and grind you down in the interior. They did not do that against a very physical ball club in BYU. They're gonna make some noise, BYU. Let's not forget, BYU has the type of resume to make some noise. They play USC, right? They played Arizona. They're going to play some other teams in coming. They play Virginia. So if they can navigate, I'm not saying I think that, but if they could go 12-0, they're going to be mentioned with Notre Dame, you know, as an independent that can make some noise for the college football playoff. This isn't Boise or UCF. This is a recognizable name in terms of college football outside the Power Five.
No question about it. They do have some other games on their schedule that's going to help them. They do play Boise. They play USC. They play Virginia. Nice win by Virginia, by the way.
Don't they play Arizona Illinois. State this week?
Yes, this week. That's the late night game. That's our blowout game this week. Is Arizona State, by the way, they've been unimpressive, Joe. I know they played nobody, even UNLV. I mean, 37-10, it sounds impressive.
Are you ready for this?
This is not impressive.
Game they get boat. They're going to get boat raced.
You're going after Sataki again. You're going after him again this week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say they get boat raced 20 or more this Saturday in Provo.
Wow. In Provo, you think that they're going to get absolutely
whacked,
huh?
They're going to get absolutely annihilated
by Arizona State. I have not been impressed with the Sun Devils. I think I'm going to be on BYU again at home this week.
That's an early lean for me, Arizona State. Oh, a short favorite? Early lean?
Speaking of guys who should be probably looking for real estate somewhere else, that's Clay Helton with USC. let me tell you, Joe, this is a joke. Stanford the week before against Kansas State in Jerry's World looked like they could be one of the 5 or 10 worst Power 5 teams in the country this year. That's how bad Stanford looked the week before. And then they go into the Coliseum, and this is what I'm talking about, Joe, with Oregon and with these other teams in the Pac-12. That league is very zany. Weird things happen. And that's why I think it's hard for these teams to get through a season undefeated, because you get craziness like Stanford going into the Coliseum and absolutely destroying the Trojans on Saturday night. Just weird stuff happens late at night in that conference.
The week before against K-State, they rushed for 39 yards on the ground.
They were embarrassing.
1.7 yards per carry. They put up a 140 on USC. And that Drake Jackson and that front seven of dun 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 dun. We see Matt Leinart, right?
Listen.
That looks like C. Thomas Riley. What's his name? Matt Leinart is a dead ringer for Step Brothers.
John C. Riley
and Matt Leinart are the same person. I'm convinced. It's his clone.
Let me bring up the current USC quarterback. I'm tired of Slovis, too. He stinks. He's not a good player. Slovis isn't good, Joe. He's not good.
I said he was an outside dark horse last week as the Heisman.
He's
complete garbage. Clay Helton's garbage. Yeah, they're garbage.
They've had so many chances to send him packing. They have Snoop Dogg
on the sidelines. Will Ferrell, you suck. They're terrible.
That was an embarrassing loss.
They are the epitome of the rich kids, right? They come there, they got the Vidal Sassoon bag, and they got everything, right? And we play football.
Joe getting on them for the luggage with the
headband, and we got the Gucci glasses, and then they get hit in the mouth.
My goodness.
And Stanford racks up over 400 yards of total offense. Like, get real, guy, will you? Oh, we went to Matt or Die, and we went here. Okay, great, but you can't tackle, you can't block, and you can't catch. So what good are you?
Right. Joe on them for the luggage.
What good are you to me
bags.
When we're, if you're sitting on a ticket, thank God I didn't have USC. But, I mean, let's be honest now. He went to Matt or Die. The kid's phenomenal. 247, he's a 40. 1,150 on the percentile. Oh, please.
That team stinks. And you know who else stinks? I mean, honestly, like, I don't know what was going on in Tucson on Saturday night, but, like, seriously, Joe, it was 21-0 before half the student body was in their seats. And that's San Diego State,
whose offense is basically from the Stone Age. And you know that. It's like you always say, they're a blue-collar team who likes to run the football.
Yeah,
it was 21-0 before the kids could sit down, Joe. Honestly.
Yes, here's the thing. Week one with a new head coach against BYU after getting blown out by Arizona State the year before. Great effort. And now their true colors shine through. They can't tackle. They're terrible in run support.
Awful. 38-14, San Diego State beat Arizona. College football full circle. Carver, Lisa here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and wrap it up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, I'll rapid fire here. We'll get out of here with some of these other games. The Beavers beat up on Hawaii 45-27. They punched them in the mouth right out of the gate, and Hawaii had absolutely zero answers for them whatsoever all night. We mentioned it at the top of the show, Clark Lea getting the win in Colorado State. I mean, seriously, Joe, if you're Addazio and you get up 14-0 early in that game, you're up 14-7 at the half, and then you allow that miserable Vanderbilt roster, with Seals and Davis, Pierce Jr., to basically put you away in the second half. Geez, Addazio stinks. He stinks.
He's horrible. I hate Addazio. I mean, he's terrible. Just no offensive. Steve Addazio went to the Vic Fangio, even though Denver won the other day. He went to the Vic Fangio way of offense. So we got to pass the football? I'm nervous now. What do you mean? We actually have pass? It's like, unbelievable.
That was my good hit, Joe, because I was on Vandy all week long getting the 6.5. And a game that you were on all week long that paid off for you, Mississippi State 24-10 over NC State. Nice hit for you, Joe.
Yeah, I'm happy I got that. I mean, I really thought from a physicality perspective, they matched up. And Dave Doran on the road, 3-8 over the last 2 years. That was enough for me. Better quarterback, I thought, Will Rogers. Front seven, that was an SEC caliber front that NC State was going up against. This wasn't South Florida or a Group of Five team.
No, it was not. Rutgers, 17-7 over Syracuse. Two down. One to go for me, Joe. I said I need him to win the first three games of the year, the non-conference games, and I can get that over four. Sure enough, they just got to beat Delaware this week. Geez, the Blue Hens, they better. And they'll be 3-0 to start the year, and I can look for my one or two Big Ten wins to send me home, Joe.
That's great, Carver. That is awesome.
Joe, great stuff. Tomorrow, we start diving into week three. We'll look at where maybe some of the futures have moved around for the Heisman, the national title, etc. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi. Thanks to Andrew Torres, as always, as well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204.